So we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day of ascension. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that is before us of your Spirit. We ask you to give us your word, Lord, to prepare us for Pentecost. We praise you and bless your name. So it's a really exciting time as we move towards Pentecost. You feel it welling up within you, the expectation of how God is going to move in our midst. When Jesus ascended on that mountaintop and disappeared into the clouds, he was in no way leaving us. He was returning to the Father for a purpose, to send the Holy Spirit so that he would be with us always until the end of the age by the gift of the Spirit poured out upon us. And that's why he promised the apostles before he disappeared into the clouds, he promised them, told them to go back to Jerusalem and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth. You'll have a power within you that until this moment you didn't have. It'll be the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling you, Jesus is saying to them, enabling you to be my presence in the world today, enabling you to know me intimately and deeply in your own interior spirit, that I won't be distant and far from you, I'll be right with you. So my dear friends, we're now in the time of moving towards this great feast of Pentecost through this week. It's a time when we join with the apostles and Mary, because under Jesus' instructions, they went back to Jerusalem. And they're in the upper room. So during this week, we're going to be in the upper room with the apostles and Mary and the others that were gathered in that room. And we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in newness and freshness and great power upon us. So it's a time of waiting expectantly, knowing that God is true to his promise. And this Pentecost will be for each of us, if we are open, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. That's exciting. You see, because I have the sense that there are some here, like me maybe, who become a bit complacent about the spiritual life, have become maybe a bit sluggish in their spirit, maybe a bit tepid, lukewarm in their approach to the Christian life, because they've been grieving the Holy Spirit by not being attentive enough to the Spirit's action in our lives. And so what's going to happen this Pentecost is that the breath of the Spirit will fan into a flame the gift that was given to you when hands were first laid upon you. Fan into a flame. So there'll be a new fire of love within you, a new zeal for God and for the kingdom, a new power within you to love others and to give of yourself for the sake of the kingdom and the spreading of the gospel. This is the work of the Spirit within us. The fan into a flame, that gift, huh? And there are some maybe here who, like me, struggle with patterns of sin in their life, where there's things you're finding difficult to overcome. And you wonder, where will I get the power to be able to overcome these things? How will I break that habit that dogs me? Well, of course, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who brings to us what was accomplished for us through Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why we had the second reading today, where Paul says to the Ephesians that he's praying, you know, that God will give you the enlightenment in your minds so that you'll know the infinite power that he has exercised for us believers. The power by which he raised Jesus from the dead. And that power is brought to us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so if we're really open and expectant, we'll find a new infusion of the Spirit bringing a whole new power to our lives to be able to change the things that we thought we could never change and to break the patterns that we thought we could never break. We are meant to be in that sort of helpless situation because then we can believe more fully that it's God who does the work and he will bring the change. So let this Pentecost be a new replenishment within you of the power of God to bring about personal transformation. There are some here who I sense are finding it difficult to love. Maybe those who are closest to them, finding it difficult to be able to make that decision to love. The feelings take hold of the situation and you sort of sprout out stuff that you think you shouldn't have sprouted out. And later on you regret this. And you're finding it difficult to really forgive because things have been said to you too that are pretty nasty and have put you down and cut through you. And how are you going to forgive? It's impossible to love. Is it not? To really love as Jesus has loved us. But God is a God of the impossible, and that's why we open up to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son from all eternity. That's the definition of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit then comes into us, awakening us in a power of love that we didn't have before. So we could actually decide to love. We can do what we thought was impossible. The Holy Spirit is the empowerer in our relationships and the reconciling influence in our relationships, giving us the power to forgive as Jesus has forgiven. The Holy Spirit will always within us glorify Jesus and make the presence of Jesus stronger within us so that we will be like him in our relationships with others to the degree that we allow the Spirit to take hold in our lives. How wonderful is that? There are some here maybe who actually have been on the edges of things and so you're not really in communion, you don't feel quite in communion with things. You come along but it's sort of like you feel a bit of a fringe dweller to this whole phenomenon which we call the 7 p.m. Mass. That you're a bit on the fringes, but you've sort of got your toe in the water, as it were. But you haven't gone any further. And Pentecost then comes along. Well, let the Holy Spirit in. Open up to the Spirit. We've been doing this Life in the Spirit seminar as preparation. But even if you haven't been doing that, still be very open to what God will do. Now, he's drawn you here. And he wants to be in communion with you out of great love. He wants to persuade your heart. And it's the action of the Holy Spirit that persuades the heart. He wins you over. He draws you like a magnet draws iron filings. God's like that. His work of grace is working upon each one of us, drawing us into union with him. Because he wants so much, he thirsts for that union with you. And so you're not here by accident. You might have just gotten dragged along here by somebody, but you're here because God has a purpose to draw you to himself. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us in this Pentecost experience and gives us that new awareness of who Jesus is and pierces the mind with the truth of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for our sake and draws us into this whole experience of him as our Savior and our personal Lord. It's only by the Spirit within us, Paul tells us, that we're able to say, Jesus is Lord. And how wonderful it is to be able to say that and to really mean it, not just on our confessing it with our lips, but holding in our heart the truth that Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord. There are some here maybe who are going through great struggles and trials and tribulations in your life. There are some who feel like almost like the bottom has gone out of your life. And you've got nothing to hold on to in a way. The normal moorings are not there. And everything seems to have gone wrong and circumstances have militated against you. Well, Pentecost is a beautiful time when the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, comes, the Advocate promised by Jesus. And he comes to bring hope where there is no hope. He comes to dwell within our hearts as the guarantee that we're meant for glory and that the sufferings that we're undergoing now are nothing compared to the glory that the Lord has in store for each one of us. No matter what suffering we're going through, there's a way through that, there's a light beyond. The Spirit shows us this. The Spirit is a guarantee, the first installment of what God has in store for us in the end. And we know where we're going. We know that we belong to God. And he'll never let us go. He'll never leave us in devastation or total destruction or in a heap without any sense of purpose about our lives. The Spirit is a spirit of hope. And that's why in that reading we have too, where Paul is praying, may you be enlightened in your minds so you may know the hope that this call brings to us. The hope of knowing the Spirit of God within us who convinces us deeply that no matter what suffering we're going through, there is an experience of resurrection. There is a way through because of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross, and he's now risen. And the Spirit shows us this and gives us hope. And there are some here, maybe many of us actually, who have heard the call to witness to the gospel, to witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. But you're afraid, you're timid, you're frightened, you're like the first apostles, huddled in the upper room there, afraid to break out and to do what Jesus has asked them to do. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were filled with a boldness to proclaim the good news. They'd heard what Jesus had said in the gospel today, go out and bring the good news to the whole of creation. And he promised them that they would have much. You know, they'd be able to sort of preach in his name. They could cast out demons in his name. They could pick up snakes. They could sort of speak in tongues. They could do all sorts of things in the name of Jesus. But without the Holy Spirit, that's just a good idea. And many here maybe have heard the good idea that I should be a witness to Jesus Christ. It's a good idea, isn't it? The world needs to know about Jesus. That's a good idea. But if you only got a good idea, you got no power. But the Holy Spirit comes. He gives us a boldness within to be able to speak when previously we were tongue-tied. To be able to witness to others of the truth of Jesus when previously we wanted to hide away from them and not even disclose that I'm a Christian. But the Spirit of God comes within and gives us that power. That's what Jesus promised. When the Spirit comes, you will have power from on high, clothed with power from on high, and then you'll be my witnesses through the power of the Holy Spirit. He takes away all the fear. The fan of flame, the gift that God has given to you, the gift is not bringing you fear, timidity, but bringing you courage, constancy, and a sound mind. Now, the Spirit gives courage to the heart. So, my brothers and sisters, we are preparing for this great big grace of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's a big grace. What's it mean? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is it's an immersion. Baptism means to be immersed in the Spirit. You're going to be immersed in the love of God, immersed in the goodness of God, immersed in the mercy of God, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to soak right through us. It's a releasing of all the graces of our baptism and our confirmation. And you say, oh, well, I've been prayed with before. So have I. But I'll be prayed with again. You see, Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't get sort of caught up in that alcoholic spirits. He says, that's not going to be any good for you because that's the wrong type of intoxication. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he says that, the word that's used in the Greek is be filled again and again and again. You see, you can't get filled up to the top and say, that's it, I don't need any more. Right? It's not like that. The Holy Spirit isn't quantitative like that. Like, so when someone comes up to you and says, yeah, you filled with the Holy Spirit, man, as people do, sometimes do, you know, I say, well, in fact, like, I have received an infilling of the Holy Spirit, but next week I'm going to receive another one. We can always be filled more with the Spirit. So let's have expectant hearts, because we need more of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that true? We need more of the Spirit. The church needs more of the Spirit. Now, this is what we're lacking most. Really, you look at all the problems that we've got in our lives and the church as a whole, but so much of it could be solved if we just relied more upon God. If we let the Spirit move, lift the lid as it were, and let the Spirit in, let him come. This baptism of the Spirit is such a beautiful gift to the church, and so it's great to celebrate it in these days and to be open and excited about the Spirit's coming. And I just want to share just one little thing from my own experience of this. Like, I'd been a priest for 12 years, and I'd been a fellow traveller with the renewal. Now, there are some people here who are beautiful fellow travellers. I love you very much, but you're a fellow traveller. You haven't placed yourself under the grace, right? That's what I was like. I used to like the good feeling. You come along, you get sort of a buzz. And you get a good feeling, it's all very exciting and everything like that. I used to like that, right? I was actually at the first charismatic prayer meeting that ever happened in this country, right? So that's what a dinosaur I am. And they used to just take people off into a room, and they looked very ordinary when they went off to the room. They came out of that room, and they looked really strange. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I remember thinking to myself, I won't go near that room. And I didn't, you see. I didn't for 12 years go near any room like that. I stayed clear of it, even though I thought I liked the buzz, you know. I liked the happy, clappy thing. It was quite nice, really. And these people, they were really nice people, radiated joy and all that sort of thing. But I didn't want to place myself under the grace. You see, I was a toe person. You put your toe in the pool. When I go swimming, I oftentimes put my toe in. And it's a cold in there. Oh, come in, it's lovely. Oh, and I walk around the other side and I put my toe in again. A lot of people like that with the renewal. They put their toe into the renewal. Some people even get their one foot in, you know. They really go deep. But really, what I had to do was to dive in, right? Or probably have someone push me in, right? But to get under the grace, immersed in the Spirit, huh? And that's what happened. It was 12 years later. I was convinced by some young people to go to a priest charismatic retreat. And I mention this because I think this is an important point. And the preacher was Tom Forrest from Rome, a great redemptorist preacher in those days. And he's talking to priests. He says, you've got to be able to say three words. And I'm thinking, what are these three words? He said, you've got to be able to say, I can not. And I knew that was true about my own personal life. It wasn't in good order. And I knew that too about my ministry, because it just wasn't working. And frustrating, and I didn't know what to do. And so I was able to say, I can not. He said, you've got to be able to say one more word. What's that one? Yes. Yes, Lord, you can. With the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation, when she hears the news of from the angel, she's be the impossible things to happen, she surrenders and she says, yes, let it be done to me according to your will. That's the dynamic. This is the big grace of the renewal. It's called the grace of surrender. When you open your heart to God and let him have his way and say, come Holy Spirit, I've been making a bit of a mess of it, but now you come, Spirit of the living God, and I'm going to let you have your way in my own personal life and in the ministry that I'm engaged in. And I can tell you, that moment was a decisive moment in my personal life. And I'm so grateful to God that he humbled me sufficiently, and it had to happen that way, to be able to get on my knees and to say, I can't do it anymore. I need you. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, you can do it. You move now, Lord. And I thought I might sort of explode or something or have big fireworks, but it wasn't like that. It was just a deep peace, but I knew things would be different. And oh my goodness, they have been so different. It's been such a beautiful ride ever since. But one thing after another of the Lord taking me on a journey in the Spirit. And that's why he wants to take each one of us in our own personal journeys. He wants really to fill you with his goodness and his love and empower you in new ways. Now, certainly that happened in my own personal life. It came into order by the working of the Holy Spirit. And I praise him for that, because without that it would have been impossible. And the ministry too exploded, literally, in a way that I couldn't possibly have imagined it would have happened. But God in his mercy moves. And so we must trust him. Trust the Spirit. So during this week, let's have expectant faith. You may need to repent. You may need to go to the sacrament of reconciliation and ask the Lord's forgiveness, because there's obstacles in your heart that, if they're there, serious sins of one kind or another, then that will be an obstacle preventing the inflowing of the Holy Spirit. You may need to do that. But then have expectant faith. Really believe and trust, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at all, because God is full of love. And he loves each one of us. He knows exactly the heart situation of each person here. And he wants to meet you in a deeper way and draw you into a deeper place with him, so you recognize Jesus, the face of Jesus, interiorly within yourself. You know him more deeply. He wants to fill you with his love. He wants to just turn you more and more towards him, so that you'll know the love that he has for you. And he'll never do anything to embarrass you. He'll never do anything to sort of make you feel loathsome. You think, oh, well, I might be turned into a charismatic freak. I don't want to get too far into it, you know. I'll just keep my limits. Don't do that. You know, he won't turn you into a charismatic freak. He'll bring you into the beautiful person that you're always meant to be, the fullness of what you're meant to be. You know, he enhances our personality when we allow the Spirit to come into us. He empowers us to be fully who we're meant to be in him. So my dear brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful week then to join together in prayer in the upper room with Mary and the apostles, and let's have that faith and trust in God and surrender to Him and say, come Holy Spirit, come Spirit of Fire, as you did at the first Pentecost, come this Pentecost. We believe and we trust and we call upon you, Spirit of the living God, fall on us through this week. Fall on us in this coming time as we celebrate Pentecost. And bless His name.